Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. I'm Brother Dunlap. Also sitting here is Sister Mary Ann Williams, and hopefully we'll have Adia and Shatara to join us momentarily. But we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us here on the PRF table. Mom, I don't know if you realize it, but just before the show, I just realized that I think today is the day a couple of years ago where we first had our first show here on the PRF table. I probably had to go back a little bit to 2012, because that's how long it's actually been. Actually, it was December the 6th, 2012, that we actually hosted. Matter of fact, I take that back. It was December the 4th, because our first show was actually on a Tuesday back in 2012 here at the PRF table. So we just want to say thank you to all of you, our listeners, who have been with us through these last 2 years, and say we hope that we have many more time together. As the host of this show, and also the labors of love that we have every single week when we come on the air. Mama, today we got a hot topic for us.
Yes.
Tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, is called Fiscal Responsibility for the Holidays. So here's a couple questions I'm just going to throw out there. And if you're listening and you want to join into the conversation, we definitely welcome you to do that. Press 1 on your phone, or you can go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Put your question or your comment out there. You'll see a link that says, the PRF table, Fiscal Responsibility for the Holidays, and we can just follow along with you and bring your comment to the air if you're unable to do so. But if you want to dial in, if you're listening online right now, you want to dial in, the number is 914-338-1692, 914-338-1692. Last week we had a break. I can just tell everybody, I'm big enough to admit this, it was an overwhelming week. There was so much that has been going on in our country and some of our neighborhoods that I really just had to take the time. This is me. I know we had a show last week on Wednesday. Adia hosted that show. But for me, Brother Dunlap, I just had to take a break from everything, Facebook, PRF table, everything, just so I can kind of get regain focus. And I think that's one of the important things that I see that God wants all of us to do, especially during this time frame, is to take the opportunity that we have been given to regain focus. And I think by the title of tonight's show is a way, an opportunity, a challenge, a choice, if you will, for any of us listening today to regain focus. It doesn't mean that we have to be in a negative state. Everybody who's listened to the show be fans that when we talk about improving, Mama, when we talk about going to, quote unquote, that next level, it's not as if everything is going bad. It's not as if everything is wrong. It's not as if everybody's always in the red. You know, you could be making it well financially, but there may be something else that you want to do. There may be some more people that you want to bless, you know, those type of things. And I can tell you, I don't know when this happened, but I think it was probably two Fridays ago. I was in Atlanta, went up there for a little while, and as I'm getting ready to come back home, I'm getting ready to get on the highway in a couple of minutes, and I come to a stop sign or to a stoplight. And when I come to the stoplight, as I'm driving up to it, I see I'm in the left-hand lane of a two-lane road. And there's an individual who was on the left side of the street, and he was picking up something off of the ground. And as he was picking up something off of the ground, Mama, I don't know if I told this story before because I can't honestly remember when it was, but as he was picking something off the ground, I decided to get into the right-hand lane so that if he was drunk, intoxicated, under some type of influence, he didn't fall over into the lane of traffic, and I'd be right there. And this gentleman comes to the car as I'm waiting on the light, and this is in a section of Atlanta, Georgia, where there is a lot of homelessness. And so he had a bunch of pennies in his hand, and he's trying to talk to me through the car window. And so I rolled down my window, and he said, "Do you have $4? Mama, did I say this before on the last show?
I don't remember.
Okay, good.
I had to take a break.
I had to take a break. So he asked me for $4. And I said, $4? Now, you know, coming from Philly, you know, cats don't ask you for $3.82. You know, hey, they ask for a couple of dollars. They ask for, you got some spare change. You know, some of them ask for a quarter. But I've never had anybody to come up to me, Mama, and ask me for $4. Seemed like an odd amount. And so I said to the older gentleman, I said, "What do you need $4 for, sir?" And then he said, "I want to get a bed. I want to get a bed at the homeless shelter. Listen to me, people. Listen to me." And I said, "Say that again." He said, "I need $4 for the bed at the homeless shelter." And he may have said he needed $5, but he only asked me for $4. And I said, "You have to pay to get a bed in a homeless shelter?" He said, "Yeah." And he kept saying it costs $4 or $5, whatever one it was. It broke my heart. So, I don't say this. We know the scripture that says, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing," because Jesus is talking about, don't be trying to put it out there boasting about what you do. So I'm not doing this, but I am doing this to give a good introduction to what we're going to be talking about tonight, as well as to impress something upon some of your hearts who are listening and are open to receive. And so I gave him whatever I gave him. And as I gave him this, there was a store on the corner. Now, Mama, you know, like I know, where we grew up, where I grew up, where I was raised, you know, if brother's outside the liquor store and asks you for a couple of dollars, you can just kind of understand that he's going to go into that liquor store when you give him what you give him. He may not be bold enough to go in there right that minute, but when you leave, that's where they're going. Or they'll walk up. We just know because that's our context, right? That's where we grew. That's where I grew up. That's where I was raised. That's how I understand people being on the streets and being in bad situations to have operated. Mama, this brother didn't go inside the store on the corner. I literally watched him walk up the street towards the homeless shelter. I drove off. I said, "Man, something is wrong with society." I said, "God, something is wrong with this picture." Don't know the gentleman's situation. I did ask him for his name, and he told me what his name was. He said, "Thank you." And the thing that I said before I drove off, I said, "This is what you asked me for. You asked me for money for a shelter. Just do the right thing. That's all I ask." Because, see, we can't make nobody do anything, right? I could not make him be fiscally responsible with the dollars that I provided to him. All I can do is give it to him in good faith and believe that he would do the things that he said he was going to do. Now, we must be conscious to understand this. When any of us are in bad situations, everybody doesn't respond accordingly. Sometimes people react to some of the situations that are going on in our lives, especially when it comes to things being of a financial nature. So as I'm driving home, probably about 45 minutes later, it hit me like a ton of bricks, Mama. And I felt, as our young folk would say, I felt some kind of way, because I said, "What is he going to do tomorrow?"
Yes.
"What is he going to do on Sunday? What is he going to do next week?" And when I called my wife and I told her about this, and the first question she asked was, "How many nights did you give him?" Ah, Mama, listen to me. It hurt my heart, because for a moment, I gave him what he asked for, but I wasn't looking forward past what he was asking for, realizing that if he only has for today, what is he going to do tomorrow? I wasn't in that mindset at that particular time, thinking past today. So I bring this as a long introduction, not playing, just how God is leading me, because as we enter and deal with these holidays, some of us, some people, are not going to look past the holidays. Some people, history tells us this, the historical facts and the statistics of bankruptcies tells us this, personal stories and narratives in our own end of it, in my life and in some of the lives of you who are listening can attest to this, that some people may not look past the holidays. Brother Feaster mentioned 2 weeks ago on the show, and he mentioned it before, what happens on January 2nd? What you do is what he said. He says this, what you do over the next 45 days is going to determine what happens on January the 1st. He said you're going to have to live with whatever decision or choice that you made on January the 1st. And I find that to be a very true statement, once again, because the history tells us that that is a true statement. I find that to be true because history tells us from the bankruptcies that is a relative and true statement that we cannot refute. This may not be something that is a big issue in everybody's community, but the community that I grew up in, the community that I'm a part of, whether they be church communities, whether they be on the south side of town, whether it be in the hood, whether they be in the trailer park, wherever God has me, being fiscally responsible is something that is needed to be talked about. So Mama, and let me just share this with everybody. When we talk about being fiscally responsible, the word fiscal, it just means relating to financial matters. That's all it means. Not a long, drawn-out soliloquy. It's just relating to financial matters. So how do we relate to financial matters in regards to being responsible during the holidays? That's the overarching theme of tonight. What we will not do tonight is we're not saying anything to beat anybody down who is not in a position or has not heard or not understanding what it means to be fiscally responsible. See, what I found out, Mama, is this.
Yes.
You can't take somebody, I'm going to try to give a good example and not to offend anybody, but you can't take a dog who has been living in the streets, in the alleys, for the last 3 years of his life, bring him into your household, and expect him to be potty trained. So people operate in a state based upon their environment, based upon what they know. If an individual has been spending their last dime during the holidays just so kids can have Christmas presents, it's going to take the Spirit of God moving into their hearts to say, if they're listening to this show or those of you who are listening to the show, will communicate what God is placing through us to get to you today and say to them, hey, I heard this, and this may bless your life. Or some of this was applicable to you, even though you weren't listening. And it's only going to take the Spirit of God moving on that person's heart to say, you know what, today is it. I'm going to go one place, and I'm going to throw the net out there, and I'm going to bring it back real quick because I don't want us to get sidetracked. But there's been so much happening in our country over the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that I thought about for a show for last week was the economic, if you will, how do I say this, the economic consequences of Ferguson. That's really where we was going last week. But I had to be obedient to the voice of God and just say, and him telling me, no, you need to hold on. So let's think about this. We're coming up on the holidays. Think about what happened just in Ferguson, Missouri, after the no indictment decision came. Think about all of the reactions that happened in that one city. Just talk about the one city for a minute. Don't you know that there's going to be people, and there are people right now, that is going to have a very difficult time being fiscally responsible right now during these holidays because the place where they worked was burnt down? Because the place that was about to put something in or near that community as far as a big business, so to speak, now decides I'm not going to move and put my business up in that place. So, Mama, I'm just going to come to you and let you go at it for a few minutes. You know, what's your thoughts on this whole thing about, you know, being fiscally responsible during the holidays?
Okay. Good evening, family. And thank you for joining us tonight. Oh, responsibility means, being fiscal responsible. To me, it relates to, and those of you that were, you know, were listening before, I'm just going to repeat this because to me it was a really challenge, you know, for me to make sure that I kept my word to my creditors. And I made these, I made the agreement, because I had more than one, so I made these agreements in November. And so, and now the holiday is coming up, and I would, the things that I would like to do, but I had to be responsible and know that these are bills that were, that, you know, I created, you know, the light bill, we have to pay our light bill, things of that nature. And so it's time for me, when I called and they agreed, you know, with no ifs and ands and buts about it, that they just really believe that I'm going to pay, you know, on, you know, keep my word. And so I had to make a choice. So I said, the choice would have to be to keep my word. Because, as you said, it's going to be a January. And that means I would just be, have what, three payments instead of one? So we have to be, we have to get our priorities in order. And we have to understand, well, I'm thinking I had to understand that I'm getting a Social Security check. That's once a month. And what I don't do with that check, if I don't take care of my responsibilities, the next check, I'm behind. So that means if I didn't change my way of handling my finances and just putting, then I'll always be going, doing this over and over and over again. You know, keep on making agreements, and they keep saying yes because, of course, I'm keeping my word. And this is just not the way that I want to live. And, you know, this is not the way I want to live my life, and I know this is not the way God wants me to live my life, you know. And it takes, and, you know, we all make some unwise choices, but once I realized that I made some unwise choices, now I have an opportunity to get it right, you know. So it's never too late to get it right. And so since I made that choice, I'm feeling better. I have a peace of mind now, you know. The bills come in, I don't see double payments, you know. And although I'm still behind in some of the others, you know, they are under control, you know. And so we just have to me, I had to get my priorities in order. I had to respect my creditors, you know. And I thought about it. I said, now, what if I had a business and, you know, the holidays come around and nobody wanted to pay me? And so I thought about that. You know what I mean? I said, so this is their businesses and it's feeding their families and they're extending their credit, you know. So it doesn't matter whether they are millionaires. It's the fact remains is that I said I would do this. And it's nothing, as the word says, a good name is very precious. It's very have a good name, a good reputation, you know, because things do happen. And once a person, you know, believe that you that once my creditors believe I'm going to do this, I don't know what's going to happen down the line that I may have to ask them to help me again, you know. And so I want them to know that, yes, we can trust her. You know, she has a history, you know, and they don't mind extending, you know, give me an extension. And then I was thinking about, as you were talking about the economic, you know, about the Ferguson situation. And, mm-hmm. and when you said, you know, the place that was burnt down, now the people do not have a job. That is really... really something to think about.
That's right.
And, you know, and I just think that, you know, you want to treat people the way you want to be treated, and you treat people's property the way you want to be treated, how you want them to treat your property. you know. And right now, it's not that way. That's all I have to say.
Well, and let me please piggyback off of a couple of things that you just said, and I think it allows us to transition to a couple of the points that we want to, I guess, bring out today. You know, what you brought out is that we got to treat people the way we want them to treat us. And Luke 6:31 says, Jesus said this, do to others as you would have them do unto you. Real simple. So there has to be, and this goes to several of the points that you made. You talked about the agreement that you made with your creditors. Well, if you were a creditor and you extended credit to somebody else, you will want them to follow those agreements that they made with you. Because the reality is, any creditor who has extended credit, even if you've allowed somebody to borrow money, has taken money from what they have to give to somebody else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for those who may not think that this is the most Christ-centered or biblically-based topic that we're talking about today, it is stemmed in the Bible. It is stemmed in the love of Jesus Christ. Because as he said that, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said it in Luke and he said it in Matthew. So how can we not treat people the way that we want to want them to treat us? But here's the thing. Maybe we've never been in that position of being a lender and always, not we, maybe some who have never been in a position of being a lender and has always been in has always been in a position of being a borrower doesn't understand what it looks like to be one who lends.
Mm, that's good.
Think about it.
That's good.
Doesn't understand that once I give this X amount of dollars to whoever I give this to and lend it to them, that I'm making a sacrifice on my end. And so since I'm making a sacrifice on my end, but you don't see that, it's okay to just do whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you some of the real deal. Well, I don't think I'm ready to go there. So that's where we are right now. If you're joining in, just joining in, we're talking about being fiscally responsible for the holidays. If you want to join into the conversation, press one on your dial pad. We'll join you, bring you into the conversation, let you have a seat at the table. I asked myself the question as I thought about, you know, the topic for tonight. How does this relate to PRF? How does this relate to possessions, resources, and finances? And what I came up with was I started thinking about debt. So that was one of the first things I thought about. And I thought about it from this perspective. I said, you know, how many times does it have to be written in the Bible, conversations or situations that talk about debt for some of us to get it, to understand that debt is usually not a good thing if we don't know how to manage it, if we don't know how to be fiscally responsible. And this word came to me, three letters, woe. W-O-E. Woe was in the Bible like 100 times. Jesus said woe on a various amount of subjects, like 30-something times, all in the Gospels. So it's important. It's like that warning. It is not like. It is that warning. It's how dreadful is whatever that comes after that woe. So woe, my brothers and my sisters, as you get ready to spend money during the holidays, make sure that you have it. Because how dreadful will it be when January 1st rolls around if you don't have money to take care of your responsibilities and the debts that you have already made? Whoa. Mm. And as you mentioned, this, to take it one step further, Mama, paying your just debts. I had that written down in my notes for tonight's show. You just started off the show with it because that's just how it happened. But paying your just debts. I have to go here. Whatever obligations that any of you have, the thing that God is going to be pleased with is how you handle those obligations, how you handle those debts that you have come into agreement with a creditor with. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to be pleasing to God. How do we show, how can we show we're being fiscally responsible during these holidays? Make sure that we render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. Give to those whom we know we're supposed to give to. Share those things that we know we're supposed to share, not holding them like the rich man who wanted to hold all of his possessions. Mm-hmm. I have to say this. I have an individual who borrowed some money from me. I won't put their business out there, but they know who they are. This individual borrowed some money from us. They borrowed money from us, not during a holiday time, but at a time where they were really in need. They came to us, they asked, we gave, lend it to them. I explained the situation about lending money to friends. Because when you lend money to friends, sometimes that can be a toxic situation if a person doesn't repay back. Here's what becomes some of the danger in lending money to friends, who oftentimes wind up not being friends. I watch enough judge shows to realize that lending money to friends oftentimes turns into a negative thing if the other person who's been lent the money doesn't have the type of character that they need to have. And when I when I went back to this individual after a while, hey, you know where are we at on this loan? Long story short, this individual really acted like, I don't have to pay you. What you lent to me during a dire situation. Listen to me. And one of the things I thought about was, okay, well, let me help you understand how this is really going to play out legally, you know? And so it's no question that it was loaned. But what we did not have was, I need you to pay me back on September the 3rd. Because there was a, quote-unquote, was a friendship there. Well, let me show you how this extended further. So now what gets thrown back in my face is we didn't have no definite terms. I got you. Well, let's do something right now. You with me? Let's set something up right now. Since we didn't have any definite terms and you trying to go there on me. At the end of the day, this is what came out of this individual's mouth. I'll pay you when I can. It took every ounce of me not to go down to the courthouse. Every ounce of me, and some urging by my wife, not to go down to the courthouse and to initiate a lawsuit on this individual. It's no question that the money is owed, but do you see what happened? I say, look, this is one of the things that I communicated. And again, just think about where I'm going. Just understand, I'm talking about being fiscally responsible for the holidays. Well, I know you can't pay me all of it at once, but you give me something to work with. Tell me you're going to give me $10 a week, something. I'm not going to tell you anything. Huh? I'm looking like, did I really just read that? I'm not going to tell you anything like that. And I'm like, what is going on in the world? That is a sign of somebody who is not fiscally responsible. It's not a matter that the person got into a bind and couldn't get themselves out of the bind because they didn't have a savings. It's not because that person got themselves into a bind and did not have credit to pull from immediately or a 401k to cash. It's not because of that. It's because of the character that is being displayed as what is rightfully owed to the other person. Because, see, that person is a borrower and I'm a lender. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Took every ounce. It ain't out of me yet, trust me. I just ain't reacted because during that time it would have been a reaction versus a response. But the reality is it probably needs to still happen. But what God said to me last week was, don't let that consume you during this time of I need to be quiet and hear from Him. So how would I look? How am I looking at this about being fiscally responsible for the holidays? This individual has children, little children, and we all know how, as parents, children don't really understand anything about the holidays other than it's a time to get presents. Bottom line, when they're young, that's really what they know, because that's what most of us have done to portray to our children. So here's my question. Is this person going to go out and buy the Christmas gifts for their children and just totally ignore what is rightfully owed to me? And is that a sign of not being fiscally responsible? What makes me any different than the person at the mortgage or the rent place that needed that money before they kicked them out, if that's how bad the situation was? Mm. Doesn't make me any different than that other individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about stuff like this because it's relevant, because these are the things that's going on in our churches. And this was a pastor. I'll leave it at that. This is a pastor. Really?
Mm.
So I'm going to go to my next point. As the church, as pastors, as ministers, here's the questions that I have, and I'd like everybody just to jump in on this. Is being fiscally responsible, forget the holidays, but just overall, is this something being taught in your church? Is this something that is being preached? Do you even want to hear this coming from the pulpit, or hear it in your Bible study or whatever you call it, small groups or whatever type of teaching ministries is going on in your place of worship? Is it taught there? Is it preached? Do you want to hear it? See, there's this thing. There's a book I have. It's called A Little Book of Dialogue for Difficult Subjects. And there's these topics that are really relative in our lives, in our communities, that somehow don't get the attention that it rightfully deserves. It doesn't mean that it's not, it doesn't mean that it's going away, Mama.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's going away. And the question that I have is, I'm asking those questions. Is it taught in your church? So if it is taught in your church, we want to hear about it. We want to hear how this being fiscally responsible is taught in your church or your religious organization or in your community by community organizations or nonprofits. Is your preacher, your pastor, your minister, are they preaching about this? Are they speaking on it? Or is it about give, 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 so that I can receive, receive, receive? I'm telling you, we must deal with the things that are relevant for today. I'll throw the net out there and I'll bring it real back real quick. What happened in Ferguson is a tragedy on so many different fronts. So I don't have to pinpoint one specific thing. What happened in Ferguson is a tragedy. Yet and still, if 20 people died in my city over the last year, what makes those 20 less important, less noteworthy, less newsworthy than the one who died in Ferguson? If we're going to be fiscally responsible, then we have to be willing to hear some of the things that may be a little bit touchy, may be a little bit difficult for us to communicate with each other on. And it also depends on who is the person portraying the information. We can talk about being fiscally responsible and do it in love. Perfect example. If the individual who I spoke of was listening, they should say, out of love, Brother Dunlap didn't call me out by name. Hello.
Amen.
They should say, out of love, Brother Dunlap didn't put anything on Facebook and attached that same note to the members of my church so that they can see how fiscally unresponsible that I am. They should say, out of love and out of obedience to God, I ain't got served with those papers yet for the courthouse. But it takes a strong person to have to want to understand that a lot of this is dealing with what's going on today. We all, as preachers, as ministers, pastors, we all have issues that we're dealing with in our own households. So it's not really, we can understand that we probably won't get up and speak about everything that's going on in our own household sometimes if we're still dealing with it or struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. Just because I'm struggling with something doesn't mean that people don't need to hear a message about it. So if I need to sit my butt down and let somebody else speak about it, let's roll with it. Because for some of the things that I may not be fiscally responsible with, I may need to sit down with the people just like they do.
Mm-hmm.
And let somebody sow into me some of the things, some of the truths about how God wants us to handle being fiscally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking this as an opportunity right now to talk about during the holidays because I see the crap that's already going on.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. Maybe you see it. Maybe you don't. But I do. I think it's for me, again, I'm looking. Let me tell you what I've been dealing with. I've been dealing with wills and inheritances, and I don't know if we'll get to it this month. But there have been people that have been dropping off like flies. God is calling people home every day in large numbers. And so God has been dealing with me for the last couple of months on wills and inheritances. So, again, one of the questions that I asked earlier, Mama, was, how does this pertain to PRF? Well, in PRF, we talk about wills and inheritances. That's part of the lesson. Wills and inheritances, dealing with a will, is a continued act of stewardship. But if we're going to buy a bunch of stuff during these holiday periods, but we're not going to register it. We're not going to put the receipt away somewhere. We're not going to write down the serial numbers of those TVs and those computers and laptops, and we're not going to take a picture of the pearls and the diamond necklace, and we're not going to do any of that because that's not something that's normally taught in our churches. I know what I do, but on a wide scale, it is not. So here's the question that I ask, being fiscally responsible. It's about taking care of our business. And everything is not about what we don't know. It's about what choice we make. Let me share something that I got today. And this is in my neighborhood. And this is from a neighbor. The neighbor says, somebody in my neighborhood put out a on Facebook to, it says, yesterday between 12 to 3, someone broke into our home. They threw a rock through the window in the back. They had to have been here a while. Our entire house was ran through and they stole everything we owned that had monetary value, TVs, guns, watches, etc. They said we live on around the corner from me. They also broke into our neighbors, but they are moving, and thankfully they didn't have anything for them to steal. Whoever it was cut themselves on window glass and bled all over their home, so the cops came home and took a sample of blood. Good. I love it when people do stupid stuff like that. Cops said it could take about 6 months or so before we know anything, but if anyone has a camera facing the street, if you look on it and see anything, please let us know. They stole our big screen out of the living room, so they had to have had a truck of some sort, and hopefully on camera the vehicle can be spotted. I really just wanted to give everybody a heads up. They're obviously cowards and don't want confrontation. Husband has been off of work on vacation, so they had to have been watching because they came as soon as he left. Other than that, we are fine and blessed. Happy holidays. Now think about this, and I know I'm doing a lot of the talking, but y'all know y'all can just jump on in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say. That stuff that they already had that was taken. They didn't say these were all our Christmas gifts. What's going to be the mindset? Everybody needs to understand, break-ins happen during the holidays. Go to your police department and ask them for statistics. They happen during the holidays. So what proactive measures are you going to take as you went out there and spent all this money during Black Friday? Y'all are quiet tonight. Oh, my goodness. What actions are you going to take? Are you going to make sure that you're writing down the serial numbers, taking pictures of certain things? That's all part of being fiscally responsible. This is PRF at its finest, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to talk about this because we know what's going to happen, because the reality is people are going to continue to shop all the way up until Christmas Eve. Things are going to be sent in the mail because a lot of people buy online and buy through catalogs. Don't you know that there's some jokers, some cowards, some ignorant folk, some thieves, some robbers that will wait to see when UPS or FedEx drops something off to your front door?
Mm-hmm.
And will come and pick it up after they keep on going around the street or around the corner, knowing that your neighbors are working as well? So if again, I'm one voice. I never will tell any man or woman of God what to preach. But it isn't always about just what to preach. We still need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, preacher, what are we going to do if the same situation that I just spoke about happened after Christmas when a whole bunch of stuff has been purchased? What are those people going to do? Are they going to try to replace that which was stolen? Are they going to be sad, depressed, because of the high dollar value that some of the items that they may have purchased or even been given is no longer there?
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, we got stuff that we got to deal with. It can't all come from the pastor. It can't all come from the preacher. It's stuff that has to be talked about in our homes as well. But God is the type of God, he says, my people, my children, I will not have you ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant to these things that we're talking about on this show tonight about being fiscally responsible.
Right.
You know, God used prophets to warn the people.
Mm-hmm.
God uses whoever he wants to in today's time, because everybody's not a prophet. He uses whoever he wants to use to warn the people. I pray that everybody listening takes this as a warning, because some of the things that we've been talking about, or I've been talking about over these last 40 minutes or so, is real life. And they're relevant for what's going on in people's lives. Mama Adia, Adia hasn't joined in with us yet, but Mama, did you have anything? What's your comments?
Well, what I'm thinking about is my personal being accountable for what I do. And when I am wrong, be able to be corrected. And I have to have a teachable spirit, because I ask God to show me. He says, examine yourself. So I said, God, you know me. You know the heart. You say, no man know the heart but you. So there are things that I could be doing that I think that is okay, because it's not affecting anybody and I'm going along. Everything is seemingly going right. I said, but you know that somewhere, because it's not acceptable and because it's not acceptable to you, there's going to be a consequence. So I need to know and show me where I need to come up in. And just show me myself, you know what I mean? And I'm willing to change. And when it came to the finances, I had to be willing to change my attitude. I had to be, as I listened to the show, there's things I needed to apply in my life so I wouldn't continue, and my finances, so I wouldn't continue to go around, as I said before, I'm going nowhere. And that's called insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, but God, please bless me. You know, God, you know, just give me a financial blessing. You know what I mean? You said that, you know, you pay your tithes and your offerings and the gates going to flood, you know, just, you know, quoting through these scriptures and everything. You know, because they make me feel good. But the bottom line is that faith without works are dead. So if I'm not, God could do whatever He chooses and can give me a financial blessing anytime He chooses to. But I need to get in His will, because surely God is not the author of confusion. I'm not confused, so why am I acting like I'm confused by not doing? Oh, I wonder what that means. Well, maybe I need to look it up in Concord, Strongholds, and Seal. No, it's very plain, you know. Give to Caesar what's due to Caesar. Very, very plain. And one thing about Jesus, he's not complicated. He's very plain. That's why he used parables. So as I look at my life, if the thing comes to me, is that I got to be accountable and I have to be teachable and I want to have to change. That's the only way that I'm going to progress in any area of my life. You know, if I fuss a lot, then I need to change it. That's strife. You know,
right.
I need to say, okay, God, help me. So here, you know, to just sum it up, is that I have to be accountable. When I'm wrong, accept that I'm wrong, because this is the only way that I'm going to grow. If I'm doing something wrong, or if I offended someone, and I know I offended that person, you know, first I go to God, because first I sinned against God, like David said, you know. He didn't go into detail. He said, God, I sinned against you. And then go to the person and be godly sorry that I did.
Right.
And what can I do to change, you know, to make it better, if I can make it better, you know.
And one thing, Mama, I think that it's important that, you know, as you talked about having a teachable spirit, and caller 7206, last four, we're coming to you next. It's not about a right or wrong thing. See, that's the wrong spirit to even come at somebody to try to teach them that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has happened within areas that I've been involved in. No, I need to teach you this because you're doing it wrong. No, let's have conversation about it like we do on the PRF table. And if you're able to see something that you can make an adjustment with, praise God. Let's talk about it. Let's have dialogue. Let's deal with some of these. And this is what at the heart of PRF is getting to the root cause. Let's see what's going on. What's really going on behind why, you know, you think that you have to do this during the holidays. And then let's see how we can deal with it. But as Brother Fisa said, you got to have courage enough to care. So, again, it's not about being me teaching you or telling you that you're doing something that's actually wrong, and you shouldn't even have the mindset coming into it that I'm here learning about this because I'm just all the way wrong, because there's enough people out there that would tell you that you're wrong and less people that would tell you that you're right or that you're here about it to tell you that you're right, because we need to be encouraged. Some folks need to be encouraged, saying, look, if you ain't got it during the holidays, here's how you communicate to your children that you ain't got it. Here's how you can help your children as they have to deal with the peer pressure of when they go back to school January 4th or 5th, what you get for Christmas? Well, my mama didn't really have it. My mom and dad didn't have it. My dad just got laid off of work. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you help communicate those type of things to be in line with being fiscally responsible? So call over the last four of 7206. Welcome to the PR table.
Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters.
What's going on, Reverend Dr. Bishop?
Oh, brother, I tell you, I've been running and running and running, but I jumped in this last 30 minutes to kind of see what was going on, and I've been listening, and I'm like, wow, okay. You know, one of the things that I I had to come to the realization of is that, yeah, we're approaching, we're in a season now, and we call it the season of giving, rather than the season of actually receiving, because, and I was listening to you, Brother Dunlap, you know, or you were just speaking about the child returning to school and the parents wasn't able to do anything materialistic for the child. But, you know, but one of the biggest gifts that you could give your child is to actually teach them the true meaning of this holiday season. You know, that what we didn't give, we actually received Christ. You know, that was God's gift to us, and it was the gift of life. You know, so it's not about the material things that you get, but it's more so the why and the word I'm looking for is the meaning of Christ's existence and how, because of the fact that God gave his only begotten son, that we should have life, and not only life, but have life more abundantly. You know, I look at this holiday season and I say, you know, people are, Satan has devised a way to trick us or to have us lose focus on what the true meaning of his season is, and they have commercialized it, and it's to the point to where we stress and we strain and we go out and we spend money that we don't have and we in debt ourselves, and come January we got to deal with the debt that we created in December. If we had to stop for a moment and look and say, what is the real meaning of Christmas? What can I possibly give someone that they will forever have, and it doesn't cost a thing, and that's love.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Brother Bishop, and, you know, I have to, I guess, go back there as well. Like you were just saying, you know, next year is coming around, and that goes to somewhat of the point of dealing with, you know, choices, and for every decision, there's always a consequence. For every action, there's a reaction, and I'm glad you hit on that piece about, you know, what the enemy is doing. I'm not speaking, and I don't think you are, about not buying anything during the holidays. What we're talking about is look at what you got going on within, as we call it here on the PRF table in PRF, your own PRF profile. You know good and doggone well if you don't have any money and saved up in your savings. So to go out there and to take that money and to go give it to John Doe Corporation, so that you can buy a gift to give to somebody else, but you don't have a savings. I'm not talking about 3 months or 6 months as we teach in the financial realm, but doggone, if you ain't got nothing in there, if you ain't got nothing and you know it, it should be, you know what, I don't have a savings. Again, these are the things that have to be taught about.
Exactly.
And taught to the people of God.
Exactly.
Next year, January 1st come, January 15th. Here's my challenge to every last one of us who God has called as a minister, or whatever the title is appropriate to your tradition. If somebody comes up to any of us next year, Brother Bishop, January 15th, January 2nd, January 12th, and communicates to us about they don't have it, or an emergency happening, they're short on funds, or what do we say to them? See, the preacher mode, the touchy feely piece is trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Trust God. Shut up. You telling me to trust God, and I'm telling you that my husband just got laid off of work, and we ain't going to have it at the end of the month, and you just tell me trust God. That lets me know that there's something wrong with the understanding from the individual to say that, or maybe they just don't need to say anything. You know what? I really don't know what to tell you. Shamefully, they should be able to help that person, to be able to direct that person to where those resources are, to be able to help them in that situation.
I agree.
But what are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. Again, I'm one person. And I know God can work through one individual, because a lot of people have listened to the show and a lot of people sit down on the table with us at the table with us weekly. But what's going to happen at my church? we have had two members to die within a week. This past Sunday, one passed away, found out about it right after church. Last Sunday, another member passed away, found out right before church. It happened right before church. Again, I told you that God has been dealing with me with wills and inheritances. So here's one of the questions. If neither one of those persons had a will or had life insurance, how do they get buried? How do they get buried? Do we all of a sudden now take up a collection to help take care of funeral expenses? Come on, man. Seriously?
You know, in which we know the way some of us give at church, that wouldn't even begin to cover the burial expenses.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I say this, because I know what God is leading me to doing what He's been dealing with me on for the last couple of months. So there's some things that we can do to be fiscally responsible that don't have to deal with just the dollar sign. That from a PRF perspective will benefit the individual, their family, the church family, the outside community, those distant cousins and relatives and sisters and brothers who don't live where you're at, that's going to have to help out some of your situation. Let me tell you, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's really been in my heart to say, you know what, for Christmas, as we're dealing with all this giving stuff and receiving, sit down with your dad, sit down with your mom, and let your mom and dad help you plan out, make a plan out for how you're going to have a savings. College students come home for the holidays. We got them. The money that gets spent during the holidays, maybe some of that money needs to be held on to, because when March and April come around, when they're not able to work during the holidays like they're able to work right now, I'm speaking to my own right now, the money that it takes to bring kids home during the holidays, that money may not be readily available come the end of January. So we have to deal with this, Brother Bishop, Mama. We have to be willing to say, you know, we just can't do the same old thing that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing so much. I've been listening to, I've just been listening to a couple of pastors. And I hear this, Brother Bishop. If there ever was a time, man, I am so sick and tired of hearing if there ever was a time. It's always been time. Because what we're talking about and why we're talking about it didn't just happen yesterday. People didn't stop, didn't just start dealing with Black Friday and Cyber Monday like they lost their mind. This ain't new. Something has been going on for years. It's just been evolving and transforming into different ways. Oh, it used to be where you had to get out there and stand in line all night on Friday because everything was closed on Thursday.
Do you think those same crowd was standing in line that long to get into church services on Sunday morning?
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
They pitched tents.
I don't think
they
so.
Said it
but here's the thing: why should they? Let's hit it out the park. Why should they? What is drawing them to that place for them to stand in lines and droves like that?
And
the reason they stand in, remember Adia posted something on Facebook, you know, I haven't been on it in a while. It said, what you're talking about. It had a store, it had the line going around the corner. And then it had somebody coming into it was a classroom where a person was coming into a classroom and all the seats was empty. And it said PTA. Again, we're talking about priorities. So what is it inside of that store that has those people around? There's an expectation that when I get in there, I'm going to be able to spend this money that I have, and I'm going to be able to receive something that's going to be something that is going to be beneficial for me. So as we make that comparison, Brother Bishop, I bring the question of what is it that's inside of that house that makes people see? We can't just be preaching from the pulpit. You should come because you want to praise God, because you want to assembly with the brethren. Man, if y'all don't stop that foolishness, it's guilt. Don't try to guilt nobody into coming in the church. There needs to be real deal stuff going on so that people know. If they don't get it within us as a church community, then they'll get it somewhere else. That's the reason why so many doggone people have payday loans. That's why so many people have these title pawns. Because I can speak about my church. Because they can't come to my church and get the help that they doggone need. And I could probably speak about a couple of others. Let me go to Adia. Y'all done got me riled up on a Thursday night. Adia, go ahead.
The comment. And
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adia.
Just wanted to comment on what you were saying. Like, what's going on as far as people standing in lines and, you know, willing to wait out, you know, to get something. What I've learned, and just I actually talked about it last week, is that people are not satisfied. And as long as we live in a day and age to where what people are hungering and thirsting for, they will never be filled. And I don't mean to sound biblical, but I think that the verse in Matthew, which is chapter 5, which says, if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. I think that if people took that and applied it in the natural sense, I think that we get a better understanding of what is it that people are longing for, that they just have to have this thing, this new gadget, this, you know, these new shoes or whatever it is that they're after. And I say that because I talk to my husband all the time, and I mean, we have discussions to where it's just like, I call it the unsatisfied American, to where we are never satisfied. We always want more. What we have is never enough. But Paul addresses that in the Bible, to where he says, in whatever state that I'm in, whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry, I've learned to be content. And so because he experienced what it's like to not have, he experienced and knew what it was like to have everything. And I think that we live in a day and age to where people are not even taking the time to say, do I really have to have this? Do I really have to go stand in the line? And so what I see it as being is a systemic issue is that people, if you've ever had a need for something, if you went without something, then you understand what it's like not to have. We see it every day. You have people that don't make enough money, but yet and still they are able to survive. They are able to live. So what is the difference for a person who learns to live off of what they have, and that's all that they can do, versus a person who has a job and can buy the finer things in life and they still want more? I think it boils down to the systemic issue of not understanding that, of being content. And I think that's what it boils down to, because if I'm content, whether I have everything or whether I have a little bit, I understand that I'm right where I need to be. And that if I never got a Keurig coffee pot maker or whatever that thing is, if I never got the newest Michael Kors purse, if I never got the new golf clubs, or if I never got the latest cashmere sweater, what I have that in my current state, I am content. And I think we're dealing with an issue of people not being content because they can't even look around at what they have to say, God, I really thank you for what I have. We say it, oh, I'm blessed, but I don't think we believe it, and I don't think we fully understand or are even aware of what the word blessed means in relation to being content. Because I couldn't see myself standing in the line if I was content.
And I say, you know, for me, it's not about, you know, I'm just not going to do it. So I'm not opposed to it, and I want to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. I'm not opposed to it. If that's what you want to do, if you want to get up at 12 o'clock and stand in line, But you got to make sure that you have taken the necessary inventory about what's the needs and what's the wants as a deer, as you just said. And then as you do that, if you're willing to take that inventory, the hard part comes when you take that inventory and you realize, I'm going to go stand in line to buy this, you know, spend $500,000, $500 or $1,000 on whatever. But nobody knows but you what's going on with you. That's why we have to have these conversations, because in the big scheme of things, if you don't have a savings built up, nobody knows that but you. So you can look like, well, you know what? Everybody's out here. I'm out here with everybody else, and I have the money. Nobody knows how maxed out your credit card is but you and your husband or your wife. Nobody knows that but you. So dealing with the enemy, Brother Bishop, so it's easy for us, any of us, to make these financial moves during the holiday times without people really knowing what's really going on behind closed doors. And we do know that what goes on in the dark comes to light. It may not come to light inside the church house. It may come to light inside the courthouse, Pastor. It may not come to light inside of the church house. It may come to light inside of the bankruptcy court. And that doesn't look good either. Being fiscally irresponsible is one of those things, and if I need to get scripture on it for all you super spiritual folks, then I promise you I can. But that is one of those things that the enemy is very much eagerly waiting to use to mess up you and our witness. Think about it. If Brother Dunlap can't pay his doggone bills, but yet he's getting up preaching, trust God, trust God, trust God, but then you happen to see Brother Dunlap at the title pawn place. But every time you see Brother Dunlap, how's it? Oh, everything's good. Blessed and highly favored. Okay, I'm not going to say you ain't blessed and highly favored, but you blessed and highly favored when you got some issues that you don't want, that you're prideful about, that you can't come and bring those to folks that can really help you, because that ain't the way to get the help. There's something broke with our system if we got to go to their system. When God spoke about it in Deuteronomy, when he talked about being the lender and not the borrower, he was talking about us being lenders to each other. When God talked about the release of the debt, 7 years. I know y'all have heard me say this before. 7 years. We ain't supposed to have debt over 7 years. And it takes a strong person to follow that command of God when he says, Brother Bishop, if this is like the sixth year in the 11th month and you ain't got but two more days in the year, and your brother says, I need to borrow from you, you don't withhold that back from them, because you know in 2 days after you give it to him, you're going to have to release it from him. Good God. That's deep. That's deep. But the only way you and I as, and I'm going to just say, the only way you and I as believers, because I can only put it in that context, can be the lenders and not the borrowers. Not, the only way we can do that is if we're fiscally responsible. It's not going to drop into our laps, y'all. Most of us just don't happen to get a pile of money. We work for it. We get it through inheritance and other means. I'm done. I'm done. Mama, we got about 6 minutes, so I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to speak before we shut it down for the night. So, Mama, did you have a quick word for the listeners this evening?
Yes, to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And being respectful means that I'm going to respect my creditors by paying my bills. I'm going to respect that. I'm going to respect that they allow me to get a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being accountable for that. Also, being accountable that this is what I need to do. There's no options with that. Getting our bills, getting our finances, and prioritizing them is not an option. Well, to me, that's what I need to do because I'm accountable.
Gotcha.
I need to be a good steward over my finances.
Amen. Amen. Adia? Brother Bishop?
I'm going to say one thing. Oh, should I say two things? And then I'm going to finish it up on next Thursday night. A cure versus a fix.
Say that one more time.
A cure versus a fix. And that left you speechless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the table, just think about that. Do you want a cure or do you want a fix? And think about how it relates to what we've been talking about tonight. Because they both are out there. The cure is out there, but a fix is out there just as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as someone who's experimented with different types of drugs in the past or someone who's done different things in the past, you know the difference between a fix and a cure. Now look at that. Now take that same situation and look at it from a spiritual standpoint. Do you want to fix or do you want to cure?
That's good.
Wow.
You know, one of the things Brother McWhitey sent me a message, and he said, I think one of the best ways I found to solve overspending of the holidays is to use Black Friday and Cyber Money as a time to window shop without the intention of purchase. By using that, that gets the shopping bug out of your system so that you can make wiser spending choices when you actually are ready to purchase. Mm. And, you know, it's amazing because what he's talking about is impulse buying or impulse spending. So if we, and here's the thing, and maybe we'll start off next week on next week's show. But this is what I thought about for next week. We have to deal with moving from dialogue to action. That's a good way to incorporate what you just said, Brother Bishop, a cure versus a fix.
Exactly.
Because we can move from dialogue to action, but our action can be a fix, something that I would call the Band-Aid, or it can be a cure, meaning you done put alcohol all over that sore, all over that wound, and you know all that nasty stuff that was inside of it is out. So I think that's where we may be headed for next week, is really just to, and I want everybody to think about that. Think about, you know, what are some of the actions, because we have to deal with what's going on the inside. And we have to talk about real life situations. I'll bring up, remind me, and I'll make a note of it to talk about buying some tires today. And I'll let that be something that deals with this, the dialogue and putting things forth into action. But thank y'all, everybody who has been sitting down with us at the table. Thank you, all of you who have been listening, and all of you who have been riding with us on this journey for the last 2 years. This is it's a special time. It's a special time in the kingdom. It's a special time in society. It's a special time in all of our lives right now, despite some of the things that are going on that may not be in the best PRF light that we may want them to be. So until next weekend or next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we just want to say we love you. God bless you. Think about what we talked about. Get others to go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Send us a message. Put something out there on the Facebook page. But most of all, like us. So until next week, God bless. We love you. Peace.
Good luck.